All right. Well, why are the Epstein files being stonewalled? It's the $800 million question, right? Does it have anything to do with the planes that were borrowed but not owned by Jeffrey Epstein, perhaps? So let's pull some strands a little bit here on this. Representative James Comer yesterday, and of course, Representative Luna, losing their patience, at least outwardly it appears they're losing their patience, from Pam Bondi, Kash Patel, the powers that be that are keeping these files. They're maybe not even at the DOJ anymore. Like, what's going on here? Why don't we have these Epstein files? Why don't we have the videos? Why don't we have the tape recordings? Why don't we have the flight logs? President Trump issued an executive order on all of this. What's taking so long? Could it have anything to do with the FAA flight logs of Epstein's plane? And I put plane in air quotes because we might be completely misunderstanding what the term Lolita Express actually means. In other words, we're told that Jeffrey Epstein had a Boeing 727 that was known as the Lolita Express. He also had a few other planes as well. But Lolita Express could actually be a term, a metaphor, really, to describe the service that he'd provide rather than the airplane itself. He would provide this to high-profile business leaders. Take a flight, have some cocktails, enjoy yourself, indulge your fantasies with some underage girls. Epstein didn't just use his own airplanes, it turns out. He borrowed planes. Who did he borrow them from? I'd like to know. As Tina Brown wrote, there's nothing more corrupting than flying private. Want to understand the motives of our mercenary elite? Take a trip on a private plane, Tina writes. There's nothing more corrupting than flying private. Who's flying you holds all the power, the leverage. How many of these flights resulted in awful things happening? Were there people on board who didn't do anything wrong at all, but who were doing a favor? Maybe they were just doing business deals, doing business with Bill Clinton in order to put pharmaceuticals in Haiti through the Clinton Foundation. Jeffrey Epstein, etc. Who owned these airplanes? Mel Kay is the host of The Mel Kay Show, author of Americans Anonymous, Restoring Power to the People, One Citizen at a Time, and she's going to help us maybe pull the strands on all of this. She's been doing excellent reporting on this. Mel, welcome back to the show. Great to see you.
Oh, great to see you. Thanks for having me. Very frustrating watching this unfold, I know.
Yeah. So what do you make of this? You see the frustration from like James Comer, Representative Luna, but then we don't get anything. We get a few trickles of things, but we're not getting any answers. Why do you think we're not getting answers?
Well, frankly, from what I have learned and what I've known, and I've been digging into this since the 2008 case, is this goes to the highest levels of the financial system. I believe that this is completely connected to the global financial system, the one created by Bretton Woods, that includes the IMF, the World Bank. Don't forget, Jeffrey Epstein was a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, a member of the Trilateral Commission, a member of the Rockefeller Institute. He had an office at Harvard for years. He was funding Harvard and MIT. He also had banks all over the place, but I firmly believe that a lot is being hidden from the American people that they need to know, particularly about J.P. Morgan Chase and their $365 million settlement with the victims. Now, how can there be a $365 million settlement with the victims, and yet there are no people that these girls were trafficked to, girls and little children, I believe boys as well. This is much bigger when you connect the dots also to Les Wexner, who, you know, Jeffrey Epstein would use the dangling carrot of working for Victoria's Secret, Wexner's company. He, of course, was Jeffrey Epstein's main client. He sold him his house, $77 million house in Manhattan. He also owned Abercrombie and Fitch, and the guy that ran Abercrombie and Fitch is in jail now for trafficking young men. So we have multiple multinational corporations involved in this, and I believe multinational banks. And so while people want to hear the salacious stuff about celebrities and socialites and princes, the people that control this world right now are the international banking cartel, as I call them, the World Economic Forum types, which was something he did. He went to the Edge Foundation, the billionaire dinners. Epstein was everywhere that power was. And at the end of the day, great wealth and power can have this kind of effect.
So does it, can I say this then? Is it possible that some of these people had no idea, or they were just along for the ride? They thought they were doing business deals. They're on these flights. And so in a lot of these different flight logs, I want to know what these international flights, I want to see these flight logs. We've only seen some as a result of a lawsuit, but not the full amount here. We don't know whose planes were borrowed, used as a buddy system, sort of, you know, like, oh, borrow my plane, take my plane. It's not just my Jeffrey Epstein plane, but I'm borrowing it from this billionaire to fly Bill Clinton down to Haiti to send pharmaceuticals through the Clinton Foundation. So are there people, do you believe, that are innocent, caught up in this, whose lives could be totally ruined, but it's incredibly difficult for the DOJ to kind of sift through it because they don't know what was happening on these flights while they were airborne?
Well, that's true. I also want to mention, because nobody ever mentions it, that one way that people got to Jeffrey Epstein's islands were their yachts. So there was plenty of travel to Epstein Island via ports of call and yachts and ships. On top of that, many people flew into St. Thomas. They flew into St. Martin and then would take boats or helicopters to the island. So that's one part of this. But the other part is just 2 weeks ago, Jess Staley, who was the head of private banking at J.P. Morgan Chase and a very close friend of Jeffrey Epstein, who was implicated. And there are very, very sketchy emails between him and Jeffrey Epstein that came out. Well, he was the head of private banking at Chase for, you know, 10 years. Then he was at Barclays. So you got these big banks involved, too. And like I said, Chase made a settlement for all of the transactions, but they also made a settlement because of Staley. And he was just in court in trying to get his license back in London, wasn't covered by our press at all. He's somebody that has a lot of questions. A bunch of emails came out between him and Epstein where he was at his island or he was at his compound in New Mexico. So you got that guy. Then you have multiple other people at J.P. Morgan who flagged Epstein's accounts since 2006, but nobody ever put together a suspicious activity report, which is very odd. And none of the queries into what he was doing were ever followed through on. So that's an issue as well. We also know that beyond that, there were multiple other banks that came into it. And then we have the whole situation with Harvard. It's inexplicable. First of all, Summers was a good friend of Jeffrey Epstein. We have pictures of him with him. We have all kinds of information. Why did Jeffrey Epstein have an office at Harvard for 20 years? He didn't go to Harvard. So you have the Harvard connection. And then on top of that, number one in his book happened to be Tom Pritzker, who's the brother of Governor Pritzker, also Penny Pritzker, who was very big in the Obama administration and I believe is on the board of governors right now of Harvard. He, too, came up and many people, victims, named him. So what you have is all these huge financial people. And then another one, Dubin, came up many times. He was with Highbridge Capital. Staley was involved with Epstein and Highbridge and a deal that went through there that made J.P. Morgan a lot of money. But it was found out that Highbridge was also asked about trafficking young women and girls on their private jet from Florida to Epstein in New York. We also know that have not gotten much information on the white collar crimes here. There are tremendous financial crimes that happened here, and instead they just signed off on some big transfer of wealth to the victims without any further investigation. And I do want to mention there was also a bank that Jeffrey Epstein owned called Southern Country International that renewed its licenses after Epstein died, which is odd. And on top of that, which a lot of people might not know, is Denise George in the British, the U.S. Virgin Islands was the prosecutor that went after and got the $105 million settlement from the estate, the settlements from J.P. Morgan and another bank. Well, oddly enough, she was the prosecutor that was going after all these cases. She was about to file another case against J.P. Morgan that would disclose more of the people that were involved on the other side that were either paid or paying, because $40,000, $50,000 are going out to trafficking victims regularly. And J.P. Morgan turned a blind eye. But what we should also know about that entire situation is that President Biden went down to, so J.P. Morgan, she filed the last case on December 27th. Within a few days, President Biden goes down to the U.S. Virgin Islands, meets with the governor, and she is fired 3 days later. So there's a lot with the Epstein case that is still open and should be looked into, particularly that that woman, Denise George, was working very hard getting these settlements. Our president goes down and kind of reminds you of what happened with Ukraine and the Council of Foreign Relations when he said, fire the prosecutor or you're not getting the $1 billion. Well, it just so happens Joe Biden goes down as Denise George files her last case, and 3 days later, she's fired. So, I mean, this goes to the very top of protecting somebody, and that somebody is likely the international banking system.
So what is the Trump administration doing then? Because Pam Bondi comes on Fox News all the time and says, well, we're almost there, but this. Every single day, it's like, yes, we're getting close, but this, but then this. I mean, I don't think she's trying to hoodwink us. Do you think when she took this job, it seems like she did want to give us this information? So who is thwarting this? It can't be that the Trump administration thought that they could kick this can down the road forever and we would forget.
Well, we have to remember, one, Acosta in his first term, I've always believed that he put Acosta in there because he was the attorney that gave Jeffrey Epstein in the first case a so-called sweetheart deal. He barely went to jail, as far as I'm told. But frankly, he got charged in that with one count, I believe, of having sex with an underage prostitute, which is the crime there is rape of a child, but that's not what he got. And Acosta, you know, said he made bad judgment, but his excuse was, or his reasoning was, that he was told to back off because Epstein was part of Intel. Then on top of that, when they raided the New York City home and they went into the safes there, not only did they take hard drives and many binders and CD-ROMs and diamonds and passports, but apparently nobody seems to know where any of that went. They also, the day he was arrested, raided the island. At that point, he had already filled in. He had cement trucks there filling in underground bunkers on that island already. There was a fire on that island. And nobody knows where anything that they seized there went. We know that he had closed circuit TVs in every room, in every corner, and that was a big part of it. And frankly, I think that this is an international ring that includes not only trafficking of children and women, but also of guns and drugs. And I always remind people that he claimed in the first trial that he was one of the founders of the Clinton Global Initiative. The Clinton Global Initiative was supposedly founded by the Clintons, Jeffrey Epstein, and Stephen Bing. If you recall, he was a big producer in Hollywood. Stephen Bing committed suicide jumping off a roof in Century City during COVID. Jeffrey Epstein is now dead, and there's still questions about his interplay at the Clinton Global Initiative. But if you'll recall, the Clinton Global Initiative also launched something called the Island Challenge, or the 10 Island Challenge, that went right by Haiti, right by all of the main human trafficking hubs of the world. Branson was a part of it too, his island. So there's all these different pieces that really go to the highest level, not just of banking, but of international finance, that also has to do with ports and you know, and with, you know, he was involved with Iran-Contra all of the way back there. He was a part of moving Air America from MENA, Arkansas to Ohio, where Les Wexner is. So there's just these very, very powerful players, these big banks that were included. J.P. Morgan never got in trouble for the 2008 consolidation, I believe a controlled demolition of banking to consolidate. And now we're dealing with a lot of people that have decades of crime on their hands. And I would say this, that I know about banking because my husband ran a bank, is that they know who's on the other end of these transactions. You don't settle for $375 million and have no line of exactly where the transactions went and to whom. We're not talking about blockchain right. transactions.
Well, one of the areas I've been diving into this quite a bit of a rabbit hole is Barry Sherman. Barry Sherman and his wife, Honey Sherman, in their 70s, their mid-70s, the billionaires, friends of the Clintons, and they're up in there in Toronto. They wind up dead, hanging by belts in their lavish Toronto home. Their bags were packed. They were ready for a trip. Bill Clinton was seen at their house regularly in black SUV, regularly at their house. Hey, make a lot of money sending drugs to Haiti through the Clinton Foundation. You're a drug leader here in Canada, and these guys wind up dead. It was all very coincidental that Jeff Sessions was, of course, looking into Jeffrey Epstein at the time. Would these people have implicated the Clintons and their associations with Jeffrey Epstein? Is his one of his aircraft to blame for being part of this Lolita Express, Barry Sherman's airplane? So there's a lot of questions about this. They still haven't solved this case. But two of them hung, husband and wife, relationships to the Clintons, relationships to the Clinton Global Initiative, the Clinton Foundation. And how, you know, what relationship did they have to Jeffrey Epstein and all of this? But they go quietly into the night, just like Virginia Giuffre just now goes quietly into the night suddenly after being hit by a bus and now out of it. So all of these witnesses keep disappearing mysteriously.
The Shermans is a very odd case. And then you remember the Rand Baxy fake AIDS debacle with the Clintons as well. I believe that company that was an India company that was teamed up with the Clinton AIDS initiative. They got charged, I think, $500 million for putting out fake AIDS drugs. And you recall that Jeffrey Epstein flew with Chris Tucker and Bill Clinton and Kevin Spacey to Africa to do an entire Clinton AIDS initiative event for a month. There's that. There's also Ron Burkle has been suggested to have his plane also be involved in this situation. So these are all the richest of the richest people in this very high level Wall Street kind of venture capital circle in New York City and all over the world, frankly. And then there's also, you know, there's the modeling agent that I believe ran Elite, but he was Jean-Luc Brunel. He also was arrested in this case for trafficking, I believe, 9-year-old twins and other women to Jeffrey Epstein over the years. He was found dead in his cell in France, and many people still don't know that Jeffrey Epstein also had a house in Paris, and claimed to have a house also in England. And as for the planes, there was a lot of questions about DynCorp at the time and the tail numbers on his planes being switched, and certainly there was more than one plane, and the shell company that apparently he had many shell companies, but one of the shell companies, you know, is basically a P.O. box. So, I mean, there is a level of financial criminality here that is, I think, even bigger than anything else. And that, I believe this has a lot to do with the international banking system that has been looting our country through USAID and other ways for all these years. And I think Jeffrey Epstein was right in the middle of that.
I think you're absolutely right. I will get you out of here on this, Mel, which is what James O'Keefe is supposed to be reporting this afternoon. Alex Jones, I guess, spoke to James O'Keefe, got a sort of a hint as to what this is going to be. And he says, will James O'Keefe's highly anticipated expose reveal that it's Attorney General Pam Bondi is the Trump administration official responsible for covering up the Jeffrey Epstein file? So Alex is putting that out there. I don't know if that's what's going to be in this report specifically. What do you make of that? Do you think it's AG Bondi stonewalling this?
Well, what you have to remember, first of all, most of the original police I'd met with, I knew one of them that passed away from Palm Beach because my parents lived down there. But I have to tell you, she was the she was an attorney general in Florida during a lot of this Epstein case. Also during the Zimmerman case, which kicked off the entire BLM thing that was actually a straight up self-defense case. And she allowed it allowed Eric Holder to turn it into a civil rights case with a special prosecutor. So I don't know what's going to come out about her, but like I've said many times, I wish that she would have been asked about either of these cases in her confirmation hearings, and she wasn't. And as much as I'm a fan and I love Donald Trump, I know he's very close friends with Pam Bondi, but both of those cases should have been questioned in the hearings, and neither one came up. And I thought that was very odd that nobody asked about the Zimmerman reopening of that case that really did kick off Black Lives Matter and the entire movement. And then, two, she was around during the entire 2008 investigation in Florida and straight through. So I don't know what's coming out about that. All I know is that there are people that have a lot of money and power, and I believe that there are the global banking people that are suppressing this. Now, who they got to and how and why is the question. And, of course, he ran a giant international blackmail ring that I believe he took over from Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell's father. So, you know, we have multiple layers here, but that people like Les Wexner, Jess Staley, Bill Clinton, the Pritzker brother, that none of these people have even been interviewed by the FBI or the Southern District of New York should infuriate everyone. And I also believe that Comey's daughter being on the entire Epstein case here and there with all we've learned about Comey is a conflict. So again, it's the Southern District of New York. We still never got the Anthony Weiner laptop that apparently had crimes against children in an insurance file. That disappeared. A lot of those cops are dead. And now we have the same situation here. And Bill Barr promised us that he would look into it. And then we find out this whole past of Bill Barr. So this is a long-term cover-up. And it goes back, honestly, I think, to Iran-Contra. That's how long I think Epstein was involved here.
Goodness.
Wow, my God. It's such a disgusting onion. The more you peel it, the stinkier it gets. It's unbelievable. Someone asked in the chat, do we here on the show have suicidal tendencies picking on Bill Clinton right now? We're going to wind up with like, unbelievable.
No, but if I had slowed down what you just said and mapped it on the board behind me, it would be one of those things with red straight, like the meme, right?
Yeah. But
that's reality.
Yeah,
I've done it. It's crazy. And I'm telling you, it goes into the modeling fashion world. It goes into the highest levels of banking. It goes into weapons and gun trafficking. I mean, it is gigantic. And that's why I've always said Epstein would bring down the entire house of cards of those that have looted and stolen our birthright and our country from beneath us. The highest, most powerful people in this country are the people that are involved in this.
Yeah, that's why it's being kept silent, because of what it would do to the entire system. Mel Kay, great to see you, as always.
See you guys.
Check out Mel's great show and her great book as well. Thank you, Mel. Great to see you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, and happy birthday, daughter. Bye-bye.
Yeah. I'm going to have another teenager in the house.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
have
two. No.
I know. Pray for us.
I will.
Teenagers.
Bye-bye.